Hey, Jamie.
Hello, Keith.
You're all business today. I can hear it in your
Business.
voice.
I was trying to be a Newman, Seinfeld Newman.
that's an obscure one to go for, I think.
I
But I guess
know.
now that
I've
you say it,
oldest.
I can hear it. Like, I can see it in my mind too. So you actually did a good job. I just didn't know
Thank
what I was
you.
listening for.
Thank you. How have you been?
I've been doing pretty well, I think.
Not sick?
Not
You're good.
sick for, yeah, I mean, I get this is my week off of being sick, I think.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to take a week off. You don't want to get burnout, being
Yeah,
sick.
exactly. But yeah, other than that, things have been going pretty decent, just super busy. Well, like with external things, really. Kendra's on the board of directors for a dance studio for our church, and this week happens to be their week where they have like a showcase at the church, so I had to help set stuff up for that and then also go and help with some of the audio video stuff. And so that's taken a little bit of time, but yeah, other than that, it's been going pretty smoothly. Still failed to meet my goals that I had for this particular podcast.
So what were
I don't remember, but I know I failed them. I'm pretty
they?
sure I was supposed to launch the website this week, which I'm
Yes, the
so
redesign.
freaking close. Like, I'm right there, but I'm actually just struggling to create the landing page, but that's really the only thing left to create, I think. Everything else is like pretty much good to go, and I really like the like workflow that I have for like blog posts now, although I want to steal some stuff from my experience working on that DigitalOcean tutorial. They have some like custom markdown processing
Really?
that's really awesome.
That's cool. So, all right, I want to talk about that, but what are you struggling with on the home
Oh,
marketing page?
I'm kind of just kicking around what I want it to look like, basically. And I've had a couple things, and I've been sort of working with them, and then ended up being like, so one of the big like UI things I'm using within the site, every time there's like a tutorial, I pretty much showcase it in like a card sort of thing, just because it makes sense. There's one image normally for these things that is basically the like thumbnail I would use on YouTube. And I can give a little synopsis, and they flow pretty well. But I suck at CSS, so I've like screwed up building this thing like twice, and then I'm like, "Oh, it looks so good!" And then I'll like use it somewhere, and it's like totally shatters itself. But this morning, I totally figured it out. So this card looks pretty sweet in like every context. So I'll be able to use that on the landing page too to kind of showcase like, "Oh, these are recent or popular kind of things." And then I basically just need to do like kind of my above the fold section. So I'll probably put like some little blurb about subscribing to something, and then I'll probably put something in there about like, oh, you probably want to learn about courses. Here's like some beginner stuff. Here's some more intermediate stuff. But then I
So
feel like I'm still going to run out of space.
what's your call
Yeah,
to
I don't
action
know.
going to be?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that is a little bit weird. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, so that's what is basically holding me up at this point.
Well, I feel like it's you want somebody to watch one of your videos,
That's
right?
true. I guess I could just showcase one right there.
Yeah, but the thing I'm questioning is like, what if they're not interested in that topic, whatever you're showcasing?
Yeah, I mean, so I could go down the route of doing some fancy JavaScript-y stuff on the front page, like above the fold, to where I sort of go all choose your own adventure kind of, which could be kind of neat. And I was listening to a podcast with Brendan Dunn the other day, and I haven't gone and checked out his site, but he's the whole like double your freelancing guy, and apparently his site has a ton of like making sure people go down the right path that's like specific for them.
I just met him last over the weekend, by the way.
Oh,
Anyway,
really?
yeah, in
Nice.
Virginia.
Small world.
Yeah. I mean, I've been
But
following
yeah,
him for a
so
while, but yeah.
well, yeah, he's pretty popular. So I think I might go check out his site and kind of see what he does, get a feel for that, and like, okay, how could I apply this to people who want to learn stuff? Because I do have like a varying degree of things. Like, I have Opsy stuff, and I have programmy stuff. I have you're a total beginner stuff. And so I've got some funnels I can kind of put people down if they want to get the best experience out of that, or I can just drop them and like, here's the tutorial like feed essentially. Which that has its own thing. Like, if there's a tutorials tab in my navigation, so if you click it, it'll just show you all of them. And your standard like reverse chronological order. But
you could, and I don't know how useful this would be for somebody coming in, but you could make like a mashup type of like intro video that shows kind of just clips of all the stuff that you've done.
Yeah. That's the thing that's a little weird. Cause I've been thinking about this cause I should probably make like a YouTube channel. There's a channel video you can create that's just like describes your channel as a thing. And you kind of need like almost like B-roll for that sort of stuff, right? And a tutorial is pretty boring as like the background video stuff, because a lot of what happens in a tutorial is like kind of slow and very methodical and is like explained. It's not super, there's not a whole lot going on. Like it's kind of boring. Yeah. You just see me like highlight some text. I mean, I could put it in like super fast forward mode, so it'd look like I was doing stuff really quick, but then that might turn people off too, be like, God, this dude is so fast.
I was looking at other people's call to actions, and like Code Schools is basically creating an account, which is kind of odd. I think that's
weird. I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense for them because they don't let you do anything until you create an account. I kind of need to go look at content sites. And like not necessarily like training sites, but more like places that like blogs that are big, and check out and see kind of what they do and figure out how I want to structure it.
They do have their learning paths like right below, which is kind of neat. So like if I'm interested in, you know, Docker, let's say, and I click on that, then maybe that's where your big call to action is like, watch this free video on Docker.
Yeah, this is pretty good. Maybe I will kind of take something out of their book. And this kind of makes sense. Like this banner at the top is pretty much, this is so stupid. I might as well go and grab what I have currently on my, like courses page.
I don't think their call to action is good at all. I mean, I get that you can't do anything without creating an account, but
it's a little big. But
that doesn't get somebody using the site and getting it hooked in.
I'm saying is, I'm like, yeah, they give a really really big section of the page to that. I wasn't saying it's like kind of a big deal, but yeah, I'm like, I do agree there's something better you could do here, and I probably will. I should just make a video that's basically like me explaining what Coder Journey is and where you can go from here. That might be the best thing I can do. I can't exactly do like a mashup, because obviously mashups of tutorials would be pretty boring, but doesn't mean I can't make some little snippet video that can kind of be there that it can kind of get people onboarded.
It's cool, man. So you're going to have that done by next time?
I'm right there. Like, I'm so close. It's just one page now. So I'm not feeling too bad. And I think it's one of those things where I'm basically just going to, I'm going to get this thing kind of semi-wrapped up. Like, I'm going to get a version of a landing page done, and then I'm just going to launch this thing as is. And then I'm totally cool to, like, iterate on this forever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really mind. I just want to get something done, get myself off of WordPress, never have to look at a WordPress dashboard again, and go from there.
But that's awesome. Awesome.
That's about it for me, though. I mean, not a whole lot else. Oh, wait, the Elixir thing, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. I sent you a message earlier in the week telling you that my web app challenge thing, which I hadn't been making a ton of progress on, I scrapped the Go version and started writing it in Elixir. And within like probably an hour or two, I was beyond where I was in Go. granted, I don't have a deployment pipeline like I do in Go, but I'll get that stuff figured out. It won't be that big of a deal.
Yeah, I just deployed a Phoenix app.
Yeah.
Heroku. The Heroku build pack is amazing. The Heroku Elixir build pack. It was pretty easy. Pretty easy. Of course, there's the downtime. I understand that, but
yeah,
I'm not for this project. I wasn't, it's just a Phoenix app. It's not nothing big.
Uh huh. Yeah. I mean, so this is like one of those things, like, Heroku is really good for quick wins, but I'm sort of just an ops nerd at this point. Like, I really like to know like what the best practices are for doing opsy stuff. So I'm probably just going to go off and spin up a DigitalOcean node and figure out how to, like, all right, how do you go about deploying stuff to the Beam VM? Yep. So I'll get that figured out and probably turn into a bunch of tutorials. But dude, Phoenix is sick. It is really nice.
It is amazing. And like, if you're coming from Rails, it's almost like a one-to-one thing.
So I guess
it's very, very Railsy.
I did not mention this, but I'm building my thing in the Phoenix 1.3 release candidate right now.
Okay.
Because there are some changes in how they structure things. So have you looked at what Phoenix 1.3 has in it?
No, but I remember a tutorial, I think, from or part of the keynote from Chris McCord. Mm-hmm. And they're moving some directories and
So they move things around, but it's basically like, did you ever read Growing Object Oriented Code, guided by Tess, the book?
No, nope.
Okay. The concept of ports and adapters, basically. Mm-hmm. So it takes that, or what they call contexts in this. So like, you build what's a good example of this? You never worked with Django either, did you?
Nope.
Okay, that sucks. So in Django, there's this concept of like, you build multiple apps inside of your app. So you would have like blog is like its own app. Mm-hmm. And then you would have like administration is its own app. And like, they have their own models. And then if you occasionally need to tie them together, then you would have to pull in across module boundaries. And that's what Phoenix 1.3 is about. So like, I have an accounts module that handles user registration and will handle billing, and then I will have like a courses module that will handle like content for that stuff, and then I'll have to wire the two together in specific spots. But and at the end of the day, like, I use my accounts context in order to like fetch a user.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So the structuring is really, really good, and I've been doing this in Rails for a while now, kind of. Like, a lot of the Rails apps I work on now have like things where it's like, oh, this is part of purchasing as a concept. Yep.
And so it's
like
a Rails engine.
I haven't been doing it in that like in really crazy engine way. No, I just module structure things.
Okay, yeah,
such a way. But yeah, you can do it with engines. And I saw a talk one time where this dude did like literally everything in engines, and I thought he was insane, but it was worth a shot, I guess.
How do you tie them? How do you tie those together? Like, how do you tie like your accounts? Like, you said, tie them together in certain spots. What does that
mean? That's where like you could create another module, right? That's just a plain old module somewhere that would do the interaction. Or since most of the actual business logic is contained inside of the context, you would have something like your courses context could be like courses dot find lecture by user or something like that, and like you would pass in, you know, like you just dependency inject your particular like thing you need, if that makes sense. But it's not divided by like these are models and these are controllers, like all that stuff has gone away in Phoenix 1.3.
Oh, nice. And
actually, like the entire word model is gone. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah. Well, models are just kind of like a loosey thing over just Ecto schemas.
Exactly. But the problem is like people think about it in terms of like Rails.
Yeah.
So that was their issue. And it's like reality, at the end of the day, it's modules all the way down. Yeah. So don't worry about that. So I think the way that your context, like, so schemas belong under contexts in the new Phoenix. And then you can actually, I think there's a way to have one schema or two schemas for the same database table, if that makes sense. So like, say courses has users and you want it to have its own like business logic for a course user or a student, I guess I would call it, but you want it to point to the same thing as an account user, then you could have two separate modules for that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's really cool. I'm going to have to take a look at that.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So I think it's going to come out pretty soon. I think they're in release candidate 2, but yeah, definitely worth checking out. that's pretty much been my last 2 weeks. And yeah, I want to finish up this website and then we will be speaking at Beer City Code. So I'm still prepping my talks for that. So that'll be probably most of this next week.
Cool. Great. So you're going to have your new design out, and what are you planning on doing with your web app challenge? Like, many major features you're going to implement?
So that's
on ops stuff. What?
I don't know about the ops stuff. I'm probably going to, so I would like to have by the next time we talk, cause I'm still working on the form submission thing. The form handling thing, even though I'm sort of simultaneously working on my own course platform in Phoenix and this submissions thing, which is my problem, is I work on too many things at one time. But I'm probably gonna let the submit or the course thing sit for a second, and then submissions wise I want to be able to create forms and like receive the actual submissions of forms and like do some things, probably maybe just send email or like connect to Zapier. Those are my two. So I might not have any UI around that, but I think I would like to be able to handle form submissions and trigger some event by the next time we talk.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool. So the last 2 weeks, I did some things, and I didn't do some things, I think. But I was also at RevolutionConf these last 3 days, which is in Virginia Beach. So I was kind of, actually I did get a lot of work done on callback while I was there.
Nice.
So I said last time I wanted to do sign up and sign in for callback. I did both of those, using Ember Simple Auth. One thing I learned in from Ember, and the other thing that I feel like I've gotten back is like my efficiency with Ember and JavaScript seems to be back to where it was. So, you know, it's easy to get wrap my head around the TDD side of things and where to start. The one thing with Ember is they want you to use JSON API, and Callback's API is not JSON API spec. Just because I think it's too heavy. Like, there's situations where JSON API is great and awesome, but for my thing, I think it's just too heavy with references and all that other junk. So. It just makes the API more confusing, in my opinion. Like, it's just a very simple API. And
couldn't you just do, so this is going to sound kind of crazy, but if you need JSON API as a concept for like Ember's purposes, so this is like all UI stuff.
I don't. Well, I was going to get into like what took longer than expected.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no. I'm just saying like, I don't need it for the front end of Ember. But what it got me thinking is, you know, integrating Callback's API with Ember was kind of a pain in the ass. And I don't want other developers or people to have to do that. And maybe that's where you were kind of going.
If you're using Ember and you wanted to integrate with the API, like, and Ember requires like a JSON API, like, you could just have a separate like endpoint, because it's really like JSON API can sort of, I mean, are you doing this with Rails, or is this like a Lotus app or a Hanabi or whatever the heck it's called now?
It's Grape. It's Grape.
Oh, okay. Ruby. Gotcha. Yeah. So there's a JSON API like resources gem, right? That can like kind of handle this stuff.
Yep.
So I would almost say like, if it's really like useful from that sort of endpoint, is to just like have a second way to view the data, and then have a separate API that's for like interacting with creating these things from like a CLI or from, you know, command or from client libraries, stuff like that. But if it's just like, you want to read the data, then maybe JSON API is the way to go.
Interesting. That's a good point. I've never actually thought about that, like different formats for basically the same API. Interesting. I wonder if you do something in the headers, like the content
type. Oh, to get it to, so you'd have the same endpoint and you would just get different content based on, that's one idea. I guess I was just thinking you spin it up in like a separate thing. Cause I don't know how many people are going to integrate with the JSON API bit versus like using client libraries to just more or less like, you know, do the curl equivalent of like creating and checking in on these things.
Yeah. It's one of those things that you just kind of have to launch and get feedback on.
Mm-hmm.
So that just required me to write some adapters for my format of JSON that's being returned, which is, it doesn't really have a name, but it doesn't have a root element and like linked resources are just kind of in there as whatever the name of the resource is.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I built that.
Okay, nice. So it sounds like you made a fair bit of progress then.
Yeah. And so I got all that done, and then I'm working on actually displaying the initial dashboard. So after you sign in, it's going to show you your sandbox access token and your live. If you want to turn the live on, that's when you add your credit card information, things like that.
Nice.
I do have one question that I've been trying to figure out for a while is I want to have both a sandbox environment, right? And a live environment. Mm-hmm. And the sandbox you can test with, right? The problem is, what do I do or not do for a sandbox environment versus a live environment? Like, do I actually not send the callback? Do I send the callback with some random information? Do I send the callback with only like the first five times or something?
I don't even know that you need a sandbox, right? It's not like you're doing payments as a thing. Like, that's the only real time I ever utilize sandbox stuff is like, oh, it's one of those things where I'm dealing with a payment gateway and I want to be able to run with this and test. Then like a sandbox kind of makes sense. But in this particular case, and like, depending on how you bill, like that's really where it comes into being a weird thing.
But if you come in as a developer, right? And let's say you have a staging mm-hmm. environment.
Yeah.
You don't want to mix your staging environment data with your real data.
Oh, at that point, I mean, so that puts you to this point where you need environments, but it doesn't necessarily need to be a sandbox.
Okay, what's the difference in your mind?
So, like, an example of this would be, like, say somebody has, like, they want to use this for, like, all of their stuff, but they have a staging QA and a production environment, like... Mm-hmm. They would mix their QA and staging if you only had a sandbox. But if you give the opportunity for somebody to create a callback and specify the, you know, they kind of specify the environment of it, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. then that kind of works out. But that is already sort of specified when they tell you where to call back. Mm-hmm. Like, they would give you a different URL to call back to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you saying you, and at that point it would be a different like callback? So you wouldn't be mixing things, I think.
Okay. Yeah, it's. I guess it would be dependent on how someone would view the data then. Because you wouldn't want to see that live stuff. Or, you know, you wouldn't want to see that QA URL callback with your production URL.
Yeah, true.
Same if you're doing, like, different types of jobs. Like, so... Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's an issue, actually. I just haven't thought of how I'm going to display the actual, you know, the upcoming jobs, the jobs that you already ran. I'm sure there's probably going to be some sort of calendar, maybe not on first release, but a calendar of some sort. But I've never thought of, like, how you filter out different URLs or different jobs.
Yeah, I guess so. There's two ways you could do it, right? Like, you could, I mean, there are way more than two ways you could do it, but a couple of ways. Have you ever used Papertrail, the mm-hmm. logging application?
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yep.
So, like, you can sort or you can search in that. Like, so by default, mm-hmm. it like aggregates all those things, but you can specify an environment for it. And then it'll get all of those. And then there's like the search functionality where you can do like, oh, minus HA proxy. I don't want to see anything that comes from my load balancer.
Yeah.
And it will just filter those things out. So like your UI could give you that kind of thing. And then I think it probably will be beneficial to you to be able to specify in like when creating a callback, the environment, and then you can just have like a select box for the environment. So that somebody's like, oh, I only care about production, or like, what the heck's going on in staging? And that's just like a string field. So, and you could aggregate on that pretty easily, I think.
Cool. Nice. I like that idea. Okay, I'm going to put in some more thought about that. Because it was a problem when I integrated one of my clients instead of creating a whole scheduling system, which I needed. For one tiny little thing, I just use callback. And I know it was kind of an issue for me thinking about like, well, this is staging, you know, and how am I going to do that? So cool. Yeah, I'll put some more thought into that. So I want to have just the displaying of jobs done by next time. However, cool. I do that, I'll probably end up doing something similar to what you're specifying. So I'm doing that for callback. For Tetsu, I expanded the use of the early standup feature. I emailed a bunch of customers and asked if they wanted to be on the beta, and everybody said yes, and they're excited for the project. Nice. So, or for the feature. So I'm going to do more of that, but I'm really concentrating on releasing callback. Once that's released, I got a bunch of stuff I got to do with Tetsu. So. That's kind of my next 2 weeks.
Cool. Yeah, sounds busy. I'm excited to see the callback stuff. Is there like a beta that I can see for being the podcasting friend?
There will be. So the other thing I did with sign up is I haven't launched it yet because then anybody could sign up.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to add a little invite system around it. It's not going to be that tough to do. So I'll probably do that as well by next time so that I can, there's been a few other people that wanted to beta test it as well. And then next week I'm going to be at Codapalooza and Beer City Code.
That is a busy week.
Yeah. I haven't gotten much customer work done, which is not good. Now I stress myself out.
Yeah, I feel you there. I'm not the same amount of stress, but yeah, that stinks. But where's Codapalooza at again? Is that in Louisville?
Louisville, yep.
Okay.
Louisville. And then I got to drive back on Friday and then get up bright and early Saturday morning and go to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yep. Nice. Well, I'm excited. We'll see each other in person for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, man.
So that'll be pretty sweet. But yeah, I will talk to you in 1 week and record with you in 2.
All right, man. See you, Keith.
Later.